All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome to the fray, sports mappers. It's The Usual Suspects on a Tuesday. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel. We're here till 4. If you missed anything in the first 2 hours, download the app. It takes care of itself. Otherwise, check ESPN975.com. Catch up on what you missed.
You missed the breaking news in the previous segment if you're just now joining us. If you hadn't heard, and look, it's 3 o'clock. You're in line picking up the kids. We like to warn you. So if you're sensitive, maybe you're... Maybe you're very Christian and this might bother you. So you might want to change the radio station or you just don't want your kids to hear this. That's fine. 5, 4, 3, 2. If you missed the
earmuffs,
if you missed the previous segment, we broke the news. Bert and Ernie are gay. So, and then Clarence tweets to us and says, this is me waiting on the response from OU Mike. And it's just the Cookie Monster sitting there just twiddling his thumbs like, I can't wait. I can't wait. Because you know OU Mike is going to somehow figure out a way to weave Johnny Weir into Bert and Ernie's life. It's somehow, at some point. A couple of texts before we move on. Somebody wanted to know, Barry, would you sacrifice time with your wife and kids to make $500,000 a month? Like, let me just stop you right there. Yes. $500,000 a month?
Let's get some more info first.
Bye.
Because you don't got no kids.
Yeah, exactly. And Nora would be like, you better go get that damn money. Are you kidding me? Nora would kick me out if she thought that it would be worth a half a mil a month. Yes. I don't even know what the rest of this is. Yes. All right. He says, well, would you sacrifice time with your wife and kids to make $500K a month like this Twitch streamer guy? Granted, he has no kids or a wife, but all your time is spent live streaming and playing Fortnite.
Yeah.
Hell yes.
Yeah. My brother's trying to do that. Absolutely.
I would, for $500,000 a month, dude, for $500,000 a year, I would sacrifice time away from my wife and cat.
Perspective, because I've seen my brother like join other people's like streaming channels.
Uh huh.
These people are literally giving donations.
For people just to play video games?
Just because they like... No, just to watch their streaming channel.
That's so stupid. I don't understand that. I don't even like... Halfway through a game, I'm bored with it. Why would I want to watch someone else play a video game?
And then when I lose, I get mad and I change the video game or I won't play for like a week. That's how I am. They have patience, man.
I feel like this is... I don't know. I guess this is the mumble rap generation that's always like, I'm sad. I'm just going to watch someone else play video games. Like, what? How is there any joy in that? I don't understand that. And maybe I'm old. I'm old. I'm 44. I know I'm
well,
old.
Well, not to...
You're the youngster on this show. Would you sit around and watch another dude play a video game?
I've watched other people's streaming channels.
You're
just
weird.
Because I like their personality. You have
Get
to understand,
a life.
You have to understand a lot of these people have personalities. They're not just dummies.
Okay, that makes sense. You're not really watching it for the video game action. You're watching it because they're entertaining as they play.
Sometimes they are. They're really funny. Sometimes they're not even that good at the game. They're just funny.
I get that.
Yeah. But would you rather
It's just a different form of entertainment.
Absolutely.
I get that. Okay.
And you have to be a gamer for sure because you have to understand the game.
I'm on board.
But would you rather watch that and not to knock on your boy because he hooked you up with a bunch of subscribers, but the AR guy. Mm-hmm. Isn't he just posting videos of
But he's entertaining. I asked him about that. I said, bro, how do you have, 30,000 subscribers and you scratch off lotto tickets? He said, dude, there are people that were doing it, but they were boring. He says, I make it fun. And that's why I said, I'm totally on board with that because you know what? You can't just pigeonhole entertainment into like, oh, you can only do comedy on a stage with a microphone. That's just not true. And if you can do something and make it funny and make it entertaining, people will consume that. And that's what he does.
Absolutely.
And that's exactly, so I get it now. I thought it was just a dude going, I can't believe I just lost. I just lost again. Like no one, who would watch that? But if you're fun and you're funny and you're making it enjoyable, then I get that. That makes a lot more sense.
There's personalities. There's people that they look up to. You know what I mean? They're just not. They're not famous. Perhaps they're just internet famous. If you want to call
the esports, I don't get yet, and I'm trying to be on board with it. I'm trying not to be an old.
I'm with you.
I'm trying not to be an old man, but I'm just like, I don't know,
There's just too much
watching
money
watching two
it.
Dudes play Madden. Now, if you
Didn't
were to
they
say
it's groundbreaking that the first e-gamer ever is gracing the cover of either ESPN magazine or one of the magazines, and they're saying this is such a transcending event because it tells you where everything is going.
They're going to be in the body issue.
Oh, God. With their thumbs naked.
Look at...
Bert and Ernie on line one. Finger puppets?
Who's worse, them or DJ Reader? Look at them. They're just gamers. No one wants a gamer body.
We got a caller on it if you want to.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
I don't think we're going to take too many calls on this. Just a heads up so we don't get like 50 video game calls.
Right.
I mean, if they're interesting.
ESPN, the magazines put them on the cover, we got to take them too.
All right, fine. Daniel, what's up, buddy?
Man, how are y'all?
Good. How you doing, bud?
What's up, dude?
Doing good. No, I was going to weigh in as a sports fan and a gamer fan. I think there's a lot of similarities because a lot of guys who play sports casually will watch sports on TV, and that relates to a lot of gamers. They'll watch people who are really, really good at a game that they get joy out of, for one, to see if they can be better, but two, like you said, these people are extremely entertaining and they're really, really good. So you're seeing someone at a high level of something that people take really competitively, and you're seeing them be successful at it. When you factor in their self-commentation, it's really entertaining. And I'm not surprised why people pick up on it. Because you can't always play the game. You might
it's
be
a
on,
great
the bus
point.
Or on the
it's
on
a
the
great
train
point
or whatever.
Because you got high school and college basketball players that are watching guys in the NBA. And as much as they're watching how to get better by what they do, they're also watching their flair, if they're talking. The kind of things, you know, the kind of things that they're doing extra besides just playing the game. It's an interesting point, Daniel. Very much is.
Okay. Daniel, do you watch this stuff?
What's that?
Do you watch also? Are you out there consuming these games, watching people play?
Yeah, on occasion I am, because I can't always. I mean, I've been a gamer since I was little, and I'm in my 30s now. But, you know, for me, I can't always play the game. But if I can watch commentation or guys commentate on – I don't even know if that's a word. If I can watch guys play the game and understand what I enjoy doing and get better at it while I'm doing something else at the same time in the house or at work or whatever, then why not?
Okay,
it's better than, for me, it's better than TV shows I don't care about or the news that's on TV that just makes you depressed.
Cool, man. Appreciate the call, Daniel. Yeah, that's good insight. Somebody else said that. They said, Barry, watching someone stream a game is equivalent to watching someone play football. Well, now let's not. Okay, no one's risking bodily harm. That's part of the attraction,
well,
right?
He's just watching it. He's not risking bodily harm.
No. But he said watching someone stream a game is the equivalent of watching someone play football. No, it's not.
Oh,
there's no danger or risk in playing unless you want to be like, oh, he's out with carpal tunnel for 2 weeks. Oh, he's got.
Show me some of the guys in the NFL too that can do like triple spin jump. Some of the things in video games are a little less than realistic.
Yeah, it's not the same thing because I think part of the sports is that you have one guy controlling 11 guys. And controlling one guy. The other 10 are automated by the computer. It's not the same thing.
I kind of agree with him, to be honest.
No, it's not
it
the
really
same
is.
Thing.
Because he's talking about the people watching, not the people that are performing.
No, he's absolutely talking about the people performing.
He's saying it's the same thing to watch. Not to
watching
perform.
Someone stream a game is equivalent to watching someone play football
in terms of enjoying.
You can argue that it isn't fun to watch sports, but it is fun to play them. At the end of the day, you watch the thing that you love the most.
That's fair, but I think he's talking about the watching part. He's not talking about the people performing part. He's talking about the people that are. To him, watching a video game may be better than watching a football game is what he's saying. He's just saying from a watching perspective. He's not talking about a performance perspective.
I can already tell what Barry's new question is going to be.
What?
With those callers. Do you like to watch?
No.
I thought that's where you're going to go there. Hey, Daniel, do you like to watch?
I just don't. I
come out in my living room naked. Do you like to watch?
I just, uh-oh, here he is naked. By the way, if your number ends in 8490, bro, that's way too many words to be texting into the show. Just call. you obviously have a lot on your mind. I'm not reading all that. That's way too long. We welcome your call, but that's too much. I'm not reading all that. I don't know. We're just going to have to go look. Now, here's everybody coming on the video. You see what you've done?
I mean, we can take him if you want.
Well, OU Mike has been holding the longest, and he wants to talk about the breaking news about Sesame Street. So let's get to OU Mike first, and then we'll go to Doug and Jamie or Jaime. OU Mike, what's up?
Oh, man. First Tickle Me Elmo, now Bert and Ernie. I mean, come on, what next? Can you tell me how to get to Sodomize Me Street?
Oh, my God. Oh, no. You're, get out of here.
Goodbye.
That, what?
No. Dang, oh, you, Mike.
Did you kill it?
I killed it, but I thought he was going to keep going. I didn't want him to keep going. No. So, yeah, we missed the hang-up part, yes.
Oh, you, Mike.
Wow.
Terrible job. One of your worst calls ever.
Dude, you might get suspended from that, buddy.
That was pretty bad.
That was
suspended
awful.
For like three shows,
I can't
shows,
be
sir.
On board with that. I really can't. You know what? You can't call the rest of the week. I'm just going to go ahead and say
see,
it.
See, I suggested it, and he pulled the trigger on
you
it. That's
can
what
still,
you get,
you
OU
can
Mike.
Still text the show. No more calls the rest of the week. I mean, on Friday, if y'all take one, that's your business. I won't be here, but not while I'm here. That was horrible. Absolutely horrible.
So you're seeing OU Mike's going to be Kurt Love?
Yeah. Well, Curlo, how's he doing? Is he still messaging
oh, he checks
you
in
all
every
the time?
Time you're out.
Does he?
Yes.
What a Virginia.
Didn't he, Nick? Last time Nick Barry was
Dick
out.
Think I hurt my feelings.
Oh, yeah, he did do that.
Meow. All right, you want to do these video game calls, or do we have to go to break, and then we'll come back and get them?
What's up, T? We can knock them out real quick.
Okay. All right, you guys got to make it fast. We're up against a break. Doug's been holding the longest. Doug wants to talk video games. What's up, Doug?
What's up, man? Hey, I love your show, man. You guys keep me entertained every single day. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, dude.
Appreciate it.
Hey, so on that video game thing, my son wakes up and watches some guy named Ollie A every single day. But he's a straight-A student. He starts on his football team. He's a starting running back, a starting corner, and he does everything. He's always outside, but he just won't stop watching that. And I ask him all the time, why do you do it? And it goes back to the same thing you guys are saying. Some people just really love watching those guys. They keep them entertained, and that's all he does. I can't keep him off his phone on his free time. So I just want to let you guys know
that's
that
wild.
People do like
that. That is crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Appreciate
and
the call, though.
Straight-A student.
That's good.
Awesome, that's
man.
Great.
Keep it real, guys.
Yeah,
awesome.
Man. Yeah, that's cool. See, like... That's, I, you know what, too, and I'm not even going to sit here and deny the fact that it's probably not generational. There's no way that as a 44-year-old man, I want to sit around and watch another dude play video games. But as a 12-year-old, as a 15-year-old, that seems to be completely different. Do we have time for this last call, Nick? Do we have time for this call?
Yeah, we can knock it out real
quick. All right, let's do it. I don't know if it's Jaime or Jamie. Which one is it?
It's Jaime.
Hey, Jaime. What's up, man? Sorry.
Hey, what's going on? Love the show, guys. Real quick. I used to think there wasn't a place for that video game esports either until my son told me about it. He's on Twitch, and he actually gets paid. I've seen him earn money from just playing video games and people watching him play video games. And it's crazy, and there's a spot for it. So crazy, though.
That's insane, dude.
Take it easy, guys.
All right, bud. Appreciate the call.
It's supply and demand, though. Yeah. I mean, if there's enough demand for it and you supply it, you can make money at it. Uh-oh.
Somebody texted and said, we know Barry would love watching mowing videos. You go to hell, good
no,
sir.
No, you call back anytime. You do whatever you want.
You go to hell, good sir.
Nick and I are on board with that. All right, back funny. With the final 45 minutes of the show. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects. Sports Map 94.1 and ESPN 97.5. If you come around here, I'll make them all day.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Tuesday. Still trying to figure out way back Wednesday.
I think it's just, I liked Arian's Fita suggestion. Just songs that begin with the first letter of our name. So it could be any song that begins with N, B, or J. Now, I would have to do all songs that's B. You would have to do all songs that are N. And I know we did that before, but I think it was artists and not songs.
So this I mean, could I'm be down songs. With it. I'm okay with it.
I like it. It's pretty simple. It opens it up quite a bit because then it's just anything prior to 2008.
I'm okay with it. I'm totally down.
I don't think Joel likes it because J
is... I'll figure it out.
Song yeah, is not,
J is not as
okay,
easy,
then let's not
but,
do it then. No, let's not fine. Do it. Let's think of something else.
Let's do last names. You could do Blank. I'll do Laminack. You do Sharara. B, L, and S should be plenty of songs.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
No, I'm fine with it either way. I mean, we can, or we could do either your first name or your last name.
There you go. Perfect. First or last name. First letter.
And we're talking about songs, not artists.
The song title not has artists. To start with it.
Start with it.
Work on my list right now.
Start with it.
Bitch better have my money.
That's the first thing I thought of.
Really?
I swear to God, it was the first song I thought of with a B. Bitch better have
See,
my
yeah,
money.
See, we're on the same page now.
Same way.
Who's the
there?
Artist?
Old Dirty Bastard.
Nope.
I'll check.
On
AMG.
Check it on the soundtrack to
You're thinking of Baby Got My Money. Not Bitch Better Have My Money. That's AMG, West Coast rapper.
Check it, Nick.
From the 80s or
90s. It's the one that first pulls up is Rihanna, bro.
Bitch Better Have My Money?
Yep.
ODB.
From 2015.
Isn't it ODB?
ODB's is not Bitch Better Have My Money. That's AMG.
Okay, while we get through the technicalities, let's get Clarence in here. Clarence, we had a shocking development. You want to talk about OU Mike. Didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I had high hopes, and he just went and killed it. That it crushed it. What the hell was he thinking?
It was bad. It was bad.
It was historically bad for you. Bad enough for y'all won't take his call for the next week.
Banned for the week.
It is bad. I don't know what he was thinking, where he was going with that. I would have preferred him to throw in a Johnny Weir reference, but nope, he went left field.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, outside of that, I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Question.
Go ahead.
Okay, he's obviously going to make it through the season. And last season he had his quarterback was injured, his star D lineman was injured. You get a pass for that. But now, no one's injured. Everyone's healthy.
Yeah.
Do you think he's gone after this season if it's a failing season?
The coach?
Especially
Bill
after
O'Brien?
This game.
You're talking about Bill O'Brien.
Bill O'Brien.
Clarence, do you honestly think that they would give the man a 4-year extension and then fire him?
No way. I keep saying it.
I mean, I think they should cut their – if this is a bad season, and I mean bad, like losing to the Giants bad, who don't have a defensive line bad, who don't have an offensive line bad, if you lose to the
In
Giants,
other words, if it's another 4-12 season, if they go 4-12 again.
Yeah, if they go 4-12 or lower – do you think he's just gone? Because obviously they're not the best team in the division.
Nope.
I think they should just cut their losses.
Clarence, can I tell you what they're going to do?
I don't think so.
Because to what Barry and I have both said, which is you're not just going to cut a guy free after signing under that extension. They're going to step in if they're smart, and they're going to say, okay, well, we can't fire you or we won't, but we will tell you that you're going to get an offensive coordinator. We will tell you that we're going to be involved in the process. We will tell you the things that we're going to do to make this franchise better quicker.
I think that is all viable things that should happen. You should step in, put your foot down, and say, hey, since you can't seem to get it right and call a timeout and know what to do or saying it's not your job, we're going to give you all these things to help you succeed. And if you don't succeed after that, then 4-year extension or not, he's going to have to be gone. I think it's a 2-year process. When you get through this year, and see how it goes. But if next year comes and nothing changes, I think he's gone, guys.
I'm with you. Next year, if they go 4-12 this year, or 6-10 this year, and 4-12 next year, or something like that, I'm with you, Clarence. He doesn't survive 3 bad seasons in a row.
See,
no
Kevin
way.
McHale, that's viable. Yeah. 2 years in that 2-year range, they'll do that. But they're not going to eat the first year brand new multi-year deal. They're not going to do that.
8 games into it, no way. Appreciate the call, Clarence, as always. Thank you for supporting and hating on OU, Mike. But boy, you're Saints.
They got lucky. They got Atlanta
they
this
got
week
luck.
Too, right?
They
At
got
Atlanta,
luck.
That's a big game.
Yeah, it really is. ODB said, or sorry, Hip Hop Hercules said ODB song was Baby, I Got Your Money. That's right. ODB, Old Dirty Bastards was Baby, I Got Your Money. AMG was Bitch, Better Have My Money.
And I used to love that ODB song.
Don't play the AMG one. It's a good song, though. So it's just a really clean. Good song. No.
Let's play like 10 seconds of it.
No, you don't. Okay. Just get by the dump button.
No, I'm not going to play it.
It starts off, it ain't nothing like, well, see, I can't, that's literally the only clean
part. I know
what
you're talking, I know that song you're talking about.
Just listen to it off air, you'll be like, oh my word.
We don't, that we don't screen anything off air on this program. We do it on the fly.
That's right.
Yeah.
We do it on the fly and accept the consequences later. For our actions.
Well, you do, because I don't have to do
There's that. A whole article
True.
Now.
True.
By There's the a way, whole article I found called, here's a brief rap history of Bitch Better Have My Money.
Oh, see?
From Rihanna all the way back. And it features...
AMG.
It features ODB.
But the originator was?
I didn't get that far in the article.
AMG.
Okay, I'm not here to fight with you
it's
today.
Not just no.
Bitch I'm, Better Have My Money.
Ass beat,
and that's it.
That's all. You that's literally all. Because
he drops the S bomb like 3 seconds later.
Yeah,
sorry.
That's literally the only clean part of the song when the bass hits, and then it's like, and that's it. Yeah, yeah. It's a good song, a great beat. I believe he was with AMG was in the group with like High C, not a group, but in this ran in the same circles as High C and DJ Quick. Fun facts, guys. I'm just kicking you old school hip hop history right
this
here.
This is the what instrumental. Like, so
okay, yeah, right. That's a good beat.
Nick will come back with
it
the
ain't
ODB.
Nothing like black. That's all you can say. That's it. Good times. By the way, I'm not reading all these. We're moving on from the video games. Tons of texts and tweets about it. We just don't have time, unfortunately. We're going to talk Astros next segment.
Well, we got that settled. So we got a half hour to go on the big show. Don't go anywhere. Right now, I do want to tell you about the people at Texas Can Academies. I've been telling you about them for a long time. It's a great program because it's Houstonians helping kids in need in the H-Town area as they work towards their education. It's a fantastic program. If you got something, a clunker, collecting rust and dust just sitting around, whether it's a motorcycle, a truck, a car, a boat, RV, trailer, whatever it is, and you want to get rid of it, you don't want to pay for a tow truck, now you don't have to. All you do is pick up the phone, 713-225-4226 or log on to carsforkids.org. Either way, you no longer have to worry about paying for a tow. And if that's your only reason for doing it, well, then let it go, because you know what? It's a great way for them to take care of you by taking that junk off your property, and for them to utilize what they tow away as resources for kids that need some of their different things when they're trying to get their education. It could be book money, bus fare, eyeglasses, warm meals, all the things that if they don't have, they're distractions. But if they have them, they can focus on their studies. That's why the program is great. That's why it works so well. Give them a call, 713-225-4226. Log on to carsforkids.org. As I said, tell them what you got and where you live. They'll do the rest. Do the paperwork, $50 gift card, tax deductions. All those things line up for you, and you line up helping them to help kids. It's a fantastic deal, and we appreciate it if you have something that you consider donating and you give them a call. As always, right off the car, not the kid.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final half hour of the big show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Before we get to any further sports discussions, Barry, do a little housekeeping on a little of the social media and such.
First of all, OU Mike texted the show based off of his horrendous call where even Blake was like, I don't know, that redneck really pissed me off with that call. I'm with you. It was a terrible call. But OU Mike just texted and he said, just do it, even if it means sacrificing 3 days. God, I hate you, OU Mike. Just when I'm ready to hate you, I love you. That was a good text. That's a really good text.
That's a failing call. Then the numbers are below the 50-50 mark.
Well, this week, for sure. When do Clarence and OU Mike get a reality show together? I'd watch that. Well,
I wouldn't.
The oddest couple.
No, it's Bert and Ernie. The Golden Boys. Instead of the Golden nice. Girls, we'll call them the Golden Boys.
Nice. I'm fine with the Bert and Ernie thing, WB on Twitter said. They just need to come up with a modern, come up with the modern times and change the name to something like The Usual Suspects. You can go to hell, sir.
Not, okay, that's not funny.
That wasn't very nice at all. D Carcass or D Carcass or whatever your name
oh,
is
this
on there.
On Twitter?
Yeah, I was on Twitter. And then Mandy said, "What's the Way Back Wednesday theme?" Well, Mandy, if you would have been doing your job and listening in the second hour,
if you would have came and gave without taking, you'd already know that we need you to stay and stay right. tuned in long
it
enough to figure it out.
Songs that begin with the letter of our first or last name, our choice. So I could have some songs that start with B. I could have some songs that start with L. Mm-hmm. There you go. Prior to 2008,
so
no cheating, Nick. Yeah, no, you can't
so
have
I could
B
have
and
the
L.
B's.
Yeah, but you can't have the L's.
Well, but
yeah.
I don't want them.
Okay, it's fine. It's not a competition, Joel.
Oh, it's not. Okay, never has been, right?
Never.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk some Astros.
Yeah,
we promised the peeps.
We were talking in the break. I was flipping back and forth. And I just it was one of those games where I felt like the Astros, even though they ended up with only three hits, you know, they got exactly what they needed to get out of Fromber, and he left the game with a shutout on the board and a 1-0 lead after five. Joe Smith did his job. You know, they got into the eighth where you feel like it's lights out, and it was one of those nights where Rondon just didn't have it, right? So you didn't see it, and I was trying to walk you through it. But without Mariznick making two incredible diving catches in center field, they're already in trouble, probably tied, if not worse. Mm. But because he makes those two great catches, now you've got two outs, and you've got the tying run on second base. But then he proceeds to load the bases. And then they bring in a pinch hitter that's the size of a Mack truck, that you know is just sitting on fastball,
mm-hmm.
and he puts one on the top shelf of the strike zone, letter high, and screams, "Hit me," and the guy puts it in the bullpen. And I go, well, God, there goes the game, just like that. And it's a good thing it wasn't, you know, it's not tight right now between them and the A's, but I'm thinking, man, this is the game you win, and you just create that last little extra, that last final punch of distance you needed, and you coast. And they didn't get it, and it really did. It pissed me off last night.
Yeah, I totally missed it. I was watching football. I figured I would sacrifice one game. Plus, it was the Mariners, and I wasn't really all that.
That's fair. Into it. It's fine. But the football game wasn't that enthralling either.
No.
So I just kept going back and forth.
So while you were giving the play-by-play,
is that what I was doing?
Well, you were
synopsis.
Catching a yes. Sorry, yeah. Summary. It made me think. What's old Kenny Giles up to?
That's a good question. I thought about that when he saw when recently when they were doing all the posing after home runs and things like that, and then when the other night when they ran the commercial, one of the commercials of all the guys on the field celebrating the American League championship, and I'm like, I wonder what Giles thinks of the Astros now.
Mm-hmm. Old Kenny G had the now when and. When was the trade? It was July 10th, right? Was the last game.
It was in
here.
The middle of July. Yeah.
So then he goes to Toronto, and his first game, he gives up an Ernie. Second game, nothing.
Is he giving up Bert, too?
Third game, he gives up five runs. The fourth game, he gives up a run. So in his first four games as a Toronto Blue Jay, he's given up six earned runs. And everyone in Houston is going, suckers!
Well, the other thing was in non-save situations, he was
then,
blowing up.
Since then, he's given up two earned runs and has 10 saves. Not a blown save on the year. He got his ERA down from 6.29 to 5.05. He has been lights out. He has a zero earned run average in September. And if you take away those first four games where he gave up the six runs, two earned runs. And
will you want him back now?
No, but I'm just saying... Are we going to start crucifying some of these cats that we have right now that are blowing it up?
I told you all along, Rondon does not give me that really peaceful, easy feeling knowing he's in total control. And he has a lot of stretches where he gets on a good roll. But
sixth blown save of the year, which is six more than Ken Giles has.
Here we go again.
I thought we were done with all this, Nick.
I thought we had escaped Kenny G horn in hand.
For the month of September, one of them has a 10.5 ERA and one of them has a zero. I'm just pointing it out. That's all.
Okay. Do you want to look at the guy that they traded for?
Sure.
And look at his numbers, because his numbers have been pretty damn good,
Never
too.
Heard of him.
Yeah, his numbers have been pretty damn good, too.
No, no doubt. I'm not certainly not disparaging Osuna. I think Osuna is a fine closer, fine baseball player.
You would represent Ken Giles well, though. You could just isolate just the months and the weeks that he does really well and get him a big contract in
but
the MLB.
But here's the thing. My point is that Ken Giles blows up for a game, and when he does it, it is spectacular. He'll give up 15 runs and get one out, and his ERA will go to 20, but that's one game. If you look at the body of work, it's not as bad as you guys have made it out to be.
Is it Ryan Fitzpatrick-ish, or is it not?
No.
Because the body of work with Ryan is bad. It's not incredibly bad because he always has this massive run when he does well.
I'm telling you, how do you have a guy that's pitched as much as Ken Giles has in safe situations and has not blown? Does he have losses? Yeah. He has a loss in Toronto. He has one. He had, what, two? He's 0-3 as a closer.
That's what I was saying. That is not 0-3 with no blown situations. Safe. It's almost like he comes in with the mentality of, I don't give a, because of the fact that he's not getting something out of it with a save. And then they put a big number on the board.
Yeah.
Because that happened right away with him when he got to Toronto, too. I think the Yankees touched him up pretty good. Yankees or Red Sox?
Red Sox. That was the 5 runs, okay. And then another run 2 days later. That was 6 runs in 2 games versus the Red Sox.
Okay. Well, I'm sure Ken has heard enough to realize that he's going to be inviting you over in the offseason.
I am not trying to be a Ken Giles apologist. But I'm just...
You're a fan.
How can you... No, you can't argue with numbers. Numbers are numbers. Facts are facts.
Barry, we've been through this before, though. You can just say numbers, strictly numbers alone, but numbers doesn't factor in sometimes the mental portion of the game and the things that he seems to be lacking a little bit on. And it's one thing to get a save in the regular season, too. It's another thing to have to do it in the postseason when you're in a pressure cooker and the stage is bigger and the lights are brighter. And, you know, when you have a team the caliber of the Astros, you can't be hoping you get the good Ken Giles.
But when you have the game on the line and need a save, the dude gets you a save. Check this out. He hasn't blown a save this year.
In Toronto.
He didn't blow a save. In 16 games where there was no save on the line, he has a 9.12 earned run average with a 1.78 whip and an 8 strikeouts per 9 inning rate. That's horrible. Right? That's god awful.
I also know then fine. When the game was tied and they brought him in, and he was, instead of shutting the door and keeping it tied, he was starting fires.
But when there's a save situation, he's gotten a save 22 times out of 22. That means he hasn't blown a single save all year. I'm just saying, you out and get a guy to get a save. That's what he does. He does his job.
Well,
God, why am I defending this guy? I don't even like him that much.
Ken, good luck in Canada. We got one segment to go in the big show before we turn it over to the Blitz. Fred, AJ Jong, and that crew are going to be in studio today before they go back on their world tour. So they'll take you home till 7 o'clock, and you don't have to do a thing because we're simulcasting. It is Sports Map 94.1, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final segment of The Usual Suspects. If you know how we go, then you know that Barry's a t-shirt guy. He's just created a new one.
Oh my God, I hate you.
It's actually a tank top that says zero F's given. And on the back, it says I love Kenny G.
I don't like you right now.
Two-sided tank top,
on
Nick.
On sale now. Use the promo code Barry is funny, right?
Yeah, and if you're
he's doing just fine by himself. He doesn't need
help. If you're
your
an
help.
Amateur silk screener and you come in and try and do three of those for the price of one,
Mandy said, "Damn it, Joel, get better jokes." There,
from a suspect.
Damn,
Mandy, if you came and you gave without taking, I'd ask you to stay, and I'm not. So there you go.
Mm. That must sting a little.
Nah.
Okay. Yeah, it should.
I'm fine.
Monday Night Football. I mean, we talked a little bit about it. Can we just say two things? I tweeted it out, and I really believe it. But if you're a Texans fan, do you watch the Seahawks O-line and think?
I did.
Maybe we don't have it so bad as Texans fans.
Well, I watched one guy in particular to realize
Dwayne Brown.
It might have been the best case scenario for all involved.
And he's not the one that's necessarily going up against Von Miller and Khalil Mack, is he?
No, but he still didn't look great.
Yeah, because they went up to their defense, which is not much, their first two guys that they have to go up to, that O-line, number one, Von Miller, number two, Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
So not hopefully easy. This not hopefully easy. It gets better.
But no, listen, that O-line has been bad for a couple of years now.
Absolutely.
That's why they made the move to try to get Dwayne Brown, because they needed to get better. And it's one of the probably the 3 to 5 worst O-lines in football. And the Texans and the Giants are included in that as well. But boy, that was difficult to watch, because I like Russell Wilson. I'm a big Russell Wilson fan. But watching that, I feel like he's all by himself.
He is. He is without a doubt by himself. And that's why I thought it was great that you brought out the point. Just because you have a great mobile quarterback doesn't necessarily mean he can supplement what you lack on the O-line. Yeah. And it was completely evident with Seattle. And you're talking about a guy in Pete Carroll who, you know, that old Seahawks defense that he was known for. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get back to that. That usually sets things up for you on offense. And it just hasn't been the case. It just has not.
No.
Well, and the other thing is, too, unlike the Texans, but when in a different way, if you do want to stay relevant as a general manager, then you've got to be willing to go out and get the pieces that you're missing so that you can try and supplement the guys that have either left, got hurt, whatever. And Seattle just has never done that. Seattle's been like the Patriots without the long-term success on the offensive side of the ball, because they don't believe in getting receivers either, except for the fact that they've had Doug Baldwin. You know, they rotate through a lot of guys.
Golden Tate walk.
Yeah, Golden Tate didn't stay long. You know, they didn't want to spend money to keep him. They do all these different things, and running backs too. They go through a ton of running backs. They tried to recycle Eddie Lacy, and that didn't work out. And now they've drafted one, but now they realize it's their offensive line. So they, from a general manager's perspective too, they've kind of helped to erode that thing faster than normal.
They're quickly approaching rebuild mode. And that sucks for Russell Wilson.
I think they're there, and I think you're right.
Well, they're not there yet, or they would have started, but they would be trading.
They got rid of Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
They got rid of Bruce Irvin before that.
Man,
they've had some
right.
injuries too. The only guy that I don't know why you're hanging on to Earl Thomas when you realize you are in complete. There's two guys. There's Earl Thomas on the defensive side, and there's Russell Wilson on the offensive side, and that's about it. And maybe if Doug Baldwin comes back healthy, you can say that. But other than that, what do they got,
man?
And what do they got left?
That sucks for Russell Wilson.
It really does.
I don't know how. I mean, he's such a professional about it. And he's talking about, oh, we're not that far off. We're going to get better. I'm like, man, your O-line looks like you're pretty far off, bro. I don't know.
And he is a pro's pro about it, but he's one of those guys. Now, if you are able to face reality and admit you're rebuilding, that's when you consider how quickly can I rebuild, or the guy that I'm going to get the most for in my rebuild is starting at quarterback.
Yep.
So that's an interesting dilemma for the Seahawks to have, because when we say how quickly the mighty have fallen, I mean, that Legion of Boom defense was as mighty as it gets for a while.
But he doesn't seem like a guy, I guess they love him out there. He doesn't seem like a guy that's like on the hot seat or anything like that.
Oh, no.
Literally, he's been the coach since 2009.
Oh, I thought you meant Russ, but yeah, Pete Carroll's, that's a different deal. That's weird.
Yeah, he since 2009, and not to say he hasn't had any success. Obviously, he's had great success with that team, but I mean, how many coaches you see last that many years, especially going back to a hiring date of 2009? I mean, there's a bunch of coaches that got hired in 2009, haven't been in the coaching tree since.
Yeah.
So.
Somebody wanted to know, was Mandy a burner account for me with the get better jokes? No,
she's not a
burner account. Somebody else said, damn, Joel's jokes and farts both empty a room.
That's not nice.
That's not nice. Did you find a podcast subject yet? No. No, because I don't even know if I want to do one.
Gardening.
No, I don't want to do gardening.
Yes, you do.
Y'all keep making me do a gardening podcast.
In hopes of you shutting up about it on this show.
Well, you missed some great gardening talk while you were gone, by the way. Oh, you did. Did you go back and podcast it?
Absolutely not. I was in Vegas enjoying myself.
Look at just the random cross sections that you get on this show and think about just how popular it would be if you could just do that in a podcast.
I mean, I would still do it on this show, too.
No, you wouldn't. No, because anytime Nick got a call that wanted to talk gardening, you'd say, well, Barry's podcast is available on Podcast Arena and through iTunes.
Just haters. Just
get me the drink.
I don't know who this guy is on Twitter, but his name is Obnoxious D. I'm not going to say it because he listed the best sports radio. And while I appreciate that he listed us from 1 to 4, some of these aren't on ESPN, so I'm going to have to disagree with this list.
What did he put on there?
You want the order, the whole order?
No, or just whatever.
Six to ten was Big Guy on 790. Mm-hmm.
Big Puddin'.
Yep. 10 to 11 was In the Trenches on 790. 11 to 1 was Palillo. Ding! 1 to 4, Usual Suspects. 4 to 7, The Blitz.
Okay. I was just being a penis. It just took me to Vegas. I got to be nicer to them. All right. Next one.
Bro, that was brilliant. He was like, I'm doing my finger for the ding. And then I look over and you're like,
everybody in the car is going, what? What just happened?
4 to 7 was The Blitz. And 7 to 9, Late Hits with Pete Crate. So outside, I mean, the first two, 6 to 11.
I'm not feeling that.
Yeah, I think he just doesn't know that John and Lance are back together. I know, you're surprisingly.
Good point.
You don't know that Lance works for the NFL Network and does his thing. John's been in the market forever.
A lot of people still don't understand or don't know that they're back together, that the band is back together.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of people still don't know.
Yep.
It's an education process, honestly, because they've been back together for how long now? I want to say a year, but I don't know if it's been
maybe less. You're right.
Maybe 8 or 9 months, maybe.
Yeah.
But it's been a while.
November, December, or something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah. So, all right, let's get to Juan's call before we have to get off the air. Yeah. Juan wants to talk about Antonio Brown. Juan, what's up?
So I just read that he didn't show up to practice. He's upset, whatever. Did I read the writing on the wall when I was calling earlier and the season before the season started? How does Le'Veon Bell expect to get paid if he doesn't show up for work? All right, I got to get back to work myself. Thanks, folks. Love the show, as always.
Appreciate it, man.
Well, Le'Veon Bell gets paid as long as he's there by week 10. He doesn't matter what he loses. He feels like he's going to make it up with a long-term deal at the price that he wants.
Yeah.
So as long as he's there by week 10, and that'll be an interesting locker room, he'll get his year of service. He'll get the remainder of this year, but he'll get his free agency, which is what he wants at the end of the day anyway.
And I don't know about not showing up to practice. I haven't heard that
yet. He did not show up to practice Monday, Antonio Brown.
Drew Rosenhaus, who is his agent, came out and said publicly the tweet yesterday in reference, if you don't know, he tweeted out and said, well, trade me and see what happens, in reference to a guy that no longer works for the Steelers.
A former O coordinator.
Saying that Ben Roethlisberger made him look better than he is. And so he said, well, trade me and find out. But Drew Rosenhaus said, quote, the tweet yesterday was not in reference to anything other than Antonio responding to a person he knows. It was not directed towards a trade or wanting to be traded. Any idea that he was asking for a trade is not accurate. That was the statement from his agent. Who knows? He's also, Antonio had a personal matter. I talked to the team about it. His issue was unrelated to the tweet or relationship with the team.
As good as he is, though, he's a me guy.
Oh,
and he's always been a me guy.
So.
If you go back and look at his history.
You don't have that haircut. You don't go old school Wesley Snipes haircut if you're not a me guy.
We had the issue with the celebrations and everything in the locker room. And then we had the Tomlin post-game speech to the locker room where he wasn't paying attention and was just screwing around. And, you know, and he had his run-ins with other offensive coordinators when he wasn't getting his. Overlook it when you're a cog in a well-oiled machine and you're winning. But
aren't all top-tier receivers, me guys, Dez, Antonio Brown. A lot of these guys.
I'll give you one that's not.
Who?
Larry Fitzgerald.
Well, that's true. Maybe Andre Johnson at the time.
Andre Johnson at the time as well, yeah.
He wanted his, but he didn't.
Well, money-wise, he did.
I just feel like every receiver is always open. That's the old cliche, right? They come back to the huddle, I was open. No, you weren't. It doesn't surprise me.
Take Andre Johnson out of the equation for the bad quarterbacks he had to play with. Put Antonio Brown in.
Lord.
And watch it all blow up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then he would have meant the tweet about trading me.
Yep. No doubt about it. All right. Another great show, guys. Appreciate y'all being along for the ride and being suspects like you are. We're going to turn it over to the Blitz now. They're going to take you home till 7 o'clock, and they're going to do it on the same two stations. So you can stay tuned in to either SportsMap 94.1, ESPN 97.5, or, of course, download the app and take them anywhere. The Blitz is next. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great night.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not. Yeah, boy.
ESPN 97.5.